This week, Alexander Kerry told the Democratic National Convention, "It hasn't been easy to sift through years of memories about my father and find those few that might best tell you who John Kerry really is. But that's hardly a partisan emotion. The daughter of any Republican, any communist, would say the same thing. What a father means to a daughter, what a daughter means to a father, is a feeling so elemental and profound that sometimes only poetry might come close to striking the right note." Reporter Caitlin Shetterly took a long look at some poems that have been written by famous fathers to their daughters.
Perhaps the most famous poem from a father to a daughter was written in February of 1919 by William Butler Yeats when his first child, Anne, was born. Actor Brian Dennehy reads from Yeats's A Prayer for My Daughter.
May she be granted beauty, and yet not beauty to make a stranger's eye distraught, or hers before a looking glass, for such being made beautiful overmuch, consider beauty a sufficient end. Lose natural kindness, and maybe the heart-revealing intimacy that chooses right, never find a friend.
Yeats was 54 when Anne was born. Her mother was not Yeats's first choice for a wife. Although his poem expresses all of his hopes and fears for his infant daughter, it also reflects his own anger at being rejected by the woman he really loved. In his poem, his daughter becomes the frame or foil for a larger statement Yeats is making about love, beauty, marriage, and women.
And may her bridegroom bring her to a house where all's accustomed, ceremonious, for arrogance and hatred are the wares peddled in the thoroughfares. How but in custom and in ceremony are innocence and beauty born? Ceremony's a name for the rich horn, and custom for the spreading laurel tree.
The complicated relationship between fathers and daughters, husbands and wives, surfaced again more than 30 years later when W.D. Snodgrass began writing his Pulitzer Prize-winning series of 10 poems titled Heart's Needle. Snodgrass was a graduate student when he wrote the poems for his 2-year-old daughter, Cynthia, as a way to express what he was feeling as his first marriage fell apart.
And there was a tremendous struggle over the child, which surprised me because, you know, I wanted to be a writer. I didn't want to have children. I didn't feel I could take on that responsibility. But the minute the child was there, that changes everything. And to not be allowed to see this child, you know, is terrible. But this was the kind of thing that you weren't allowed to write about then. What we were being taught was that you were to write about the big significant issues, like the loss of myth in our time, or stuff like that. I didn't really care about that, but what I did care about was my daughter.
Although Snodgrass rarely reads Heart's Needle in public, because he says it's very difficult for him to get through it without weeping, he agreed to read the 7th poem of the series.
Here, in the scuffled dust, is our ground of play. I lift you on your swing and must shove you away. See you return again. Drive you off again, then stand quiet till you come. You, though you climb higher, farther from me, longer, will fall back to me, stronger. Bad penny, pendulum, you keep my constant time to bob in blue July, where fat goldfinches fly over the glittering fecund reach of our growing lands. Once more now, this second, I hold you in my hands.
When asked if he and his daughter have ever discussed Heart's Needle, his answer is surprising.
As a matter of fact, I don't know that she has ever read the poems.
In fact, Cynthia Snodgrass has read the poems. However, she's never wanted to be defined by them.
That poem is his understanding of that situation at that time. You know, he distilled the pain and put that into something beautiful and put it into print. It was his words. It's his voice. And, you know, at that time, if I had had an adult voice, I might have described things differently. There's one line where he refers to the child on the swing going back and forth as a bad penny, you know. And there have been times in my life where I've had to say, well, I'm not a bad penny. You know, I'm the lucky penny. you know, you're lucky. Here I am. I'm coming back again to you.
Cynthia goes back often. Now a minister, she even married her father to his fourth wife.
It's been interesting. There have been a lot of mothers in my life, and as an Episcopal priest, I also could be referred to as a father. So this whole idea of parenting and nurturing, it gets kind of complicated. And so it's, you know, for me, it's all about the good enough parent.
Being the good enough father might not be an easy job. In 1976, poet Mark Strand wrote for Jessica, for his adolescent daughter, as he separated and divorced from her mother. In the poem, he imagines ways to keep her with him, or even more him with her, as they're apart.
Tonight I walked, lost in my own meditation, and was afraid not of the labyrinth that I have made of love and self, but of the dark and far away. I walked, hearing the wind in the trees, feeling the cold against my skin. But when I dwelled on were the stars blazing in the immense arc of sky. Jessica, it is so much easier to think of our lives as we move under the brief luster of leaves, loving what we have, than to think of how it is such small beings as we travel in the dark with no visible way or end in sight.
When he wrote for Jessica, Mark Strand says he was pretty much in the dark most of the time.
So it's no surprise that the poem takes place in the dark. I mean, I just didn't know where my life was going. It was very hard for me to justify giving up my daughter. I mean, I didn't give her up. It was part of what happened when I got divorced. I just didn't want to give up my daughter, and this was a gesture at staying in touch or in contact and making a permanent declaration of my feelings for her.
Strand says that while the relationships change over the years, what's on the page does not.
But tonight it is different. Afraid of the dark in which we drift or vanish altogether, I imagine a light that would not let us stray too far apart. A secret moon or mirror, a sheet of paper, something you could carry in the dark when I am away.
Like W.D. Snodgrass, Strand says he's never talked to his daughter about the poem. In the home of Philip Booth, his poem, First Lesson, was shared almost from the moment it was finished. Booth wrote it for his daughter Margot when she was beginning swimming lessons. Yet it's the only poem he ever wrote directly to her. First Lesson, like Mark Strand's poem, serves as a message that Margot or any daughter can take with her. Actor Robert Sean Leonard reads Booth's poem.
Lie back, daughter. Let your head be tipped back in the cup of my hand. Gently, and I will hold you. Spread your arms wide. Lie out on the stream and look high at the gulls. A dead man's float is face down. You will dive and swim soon enough where this tide water ebbs to the sea. Daughter, believe me, when you tire on the long thrash to your island, lie up and survive, as you float now where I held you, and let go. Remember when fear cramps your heart, what I told you. Lie gently and wide to the light year stars. Lie back. And the sea will hold you.
In the end, the truth is that as daughters, we most need our fathers to tell us something about how they love us, even though they were terrified when we first met. For NPR News, I'm Caitlin Shetterly.